All right. Welcome to the E-Commerce Paradise podcast. Today, I have a special guest on. His name is Bunty Somroy, and he is a Facebook ads expert. Welcome to the podcast, Bunty.
Thanks, Trevor. Good to be here.
All right. Cool, man. I'm really excited to dive into this podcast because Facebook is one of the best platforms to be advertising a business on for sure and getting leads and closing sales. Can you talk a little bit about how you got started with Facebook ads and a little bit about your story and your background there?
Yeah, definitely. I guess they're all intermixed. So I wasn't doing Facebook ads that long ago. I started about a year and a half. But before that, I was in the web design development space. And I was living in Denver, Colorado at the time, basically getting that up and going as like a freelance business. And then I came to Asia as part of this like business network and conference, and that got me to Bangkok, Thailand. And then from Thailand, I came to Chiang Mai, where a lot of the people from this conference were hanging out in. I get, this is also at the point where you and I met in Chiang Mai as well. And at that time, I was still doing web design. But in this network, there's a lot of people around, and there was basically just a guy that I was chatting about, like mountain biking and like adventure sports and stuff like that. And then he was just like, hey, what are you up to these days? So I'm like, I'm looking for a mentor. I want to take on an apprenticeship. And he was like, well, I have an e-commerce store and we're not doing Facebook ads, but I want to be doing Facebook ads. I just don't know about it. Do you want to use my business to learn? And so I just got thrown into the fire pretty quickly, just through a handshake. And this guy basically showed me his business. He was doing like a medical product that I guess wasn't that common on Facebook. It was like targeting elderly individuals. And he was mostly driving traffic with content marketing and AdWords. And so he had a basis. It wasn't a new business, but I essentially went in and listened to like perpetual traffic podcasts and a bunch of courses and just started using his business as a training ground. And we were profitable within like the first couple $100. So that was pretty exciting. And then just from there, I just pitched my services and just got deeper and deeper into the rabbit hole.
That's awesome, man. Yeah, that what a great way to get started learning a business and to actually have a real case study business to work with on kind of like an internship basis. That's awesome, man. So who do you help with Facebook ads now? Like what's your kind of target market in terms of businesses and stuff like that?
Yeah, so from a year and a half ago, I was consulting in a bunch of different businesses just to try out like what's fit for me. I've done stuff in e-commerce, in affiliate marketing, in SaaS, and some in local business. And out of all the campaigns I've done, I found out that like doing it for local business was actually the biggest like impact that I could have. Like without even getting into real complex funnel strategies, I could really impact local businesses with a fraction of the time that I've spent in these online businesses that are inherently much harder to have results in. That being said, like I have recently partnered up with a friend of mine who has a software for residential maid service companies. And I'm now piggybacking off of his audience to do marketing for them, specifically like lead generation with Facebook ads for that for those types of businesses. It's really great for me because these businesses have a very high lifetime customer value. So when someone signs up to be like for their house to be cleaned on a regular basis, they're spending thousands and thousands of dollars with them on a yearly basis and they don't move away. So the churn rate's very, very low. So they're willing to pay a few hundred dollars for a new customer. Whereas like, you know, if you're doing like low ticket physical products, getting the ROI in the beginning is very, very crucial. So I find that there's a much more margin of error. Plus the competition is really easy and that's still in its infancy, but I've definitely been working in that maid service industry right now. I still do consulting for basically any other kinds of businesses that are looking for Facebook ads. I just have a few different packages going for there and I kind of look at what their goals are and then how I can help using ads. Not everyone's a right fit, or maybe not everyone's ready, or maybe they even have a quick win before they get into ads, but that's something that becomes clear once they start talking to them.
Yeah, so a lot of the audience that listens to this podcast does high ticket drop shipping, so it's a little bit more high ticket. So I could definitely see Facebook ads being a good fit, being outside of just like simply retargeting. but like maybe also doing lead funnels and stuff like that, just because the profit margin is so high for the products and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Do you help people doing the drop shipping and stuff like that, e-commerce, or is it mostly with like the actual people that just do the product creation and stuff like that?
I haven't done any drop shipping for clients. I've tried to do it myself once as like kind of like a weekend sprint test without much engagement, you know, just as entrepreneurs do. It's like, oh, look, idea, let's see if it works, kind of rapid validation thing. The high ticket drop shipping is interesting. And like you said, there is like a good bit of margin to play around with the profitability. And I'm not opposed to it. It's just I haven't been approached by someone in that sector. The person that I was doing e-commerce with before, he was manufacturing his own product, right, and had really high margins within that. And he has a whole line of products in that industry. And so he was kind of just set up to like churn out new products and then has like a similar structure for that.
Cool. Yeah, no problem. So it sounds like it has a wide variety of uses and different business models, which is awesome to see. And so maybe, you know, different people, if they're in different business models, can take something from, you know, what you have to teach here and use it for theirs. So I guess we can dive into it a little bit. You know, first of all, what do people need to know to get started growing their business with Facebook ads, you know, about ads specifically, which different ad types there are, how much it costs, how to set up their funnel, stuff like that?
Yeah, so the number one factor, no matter what business, what model you have, that determines the success of a campaign comes down to like how well you know your audience, like how well you identified their like customer avatar. And I'm sure there's like worksheets out there for this. I use it. It's like, it even goes down to like how old they are, what their occupation is, but it comes down to like their pain points. Like, what are you solving? And it's not necessarily a pain, but it's also their desires. Like, is your product like, you know, like enriching their life, solving a pain, whatever that is, like you're digging into what they want. And then once you do that, you now get to figure out the messaging. So even if you have the same audience that you've nailed down, like I'm just going to use doctors as an example. That's a common one for Facebook ad agencies to go after. So if you're going after like doctors, or any audience, there's like, you can use like a threat headline, like, oh, if you're not using Facebook ads, then your business can't grow. And it's like putting that fear into like stagnation. Or you can use it from a different angle. You're like saying like, oh, Facebook ads will really level up your business. And like, let me do it better for you or something. And so there's like the gain headlines, and then there's like social proof that's like, oh, industry or other businesses in your industry are doing XYZ with Facebook ads. Are you? And it's just kind of like you have that FOMO. So aside from that initial like market research and understanding your audience, honestly, getting in the ads manager, you could do that medium well and still succeed if you know your audience. But even if you're like an advanced person in the ads manager, without knowing your audience, your campaigns will kind of go down the drain. So in terms of like just getting started, that's super crucial. Another quick win is video ads. That's basically in right now and has been in, and not just like in Facebook, but like even if you like YouTube is like getting on the rise in terms of like video marketing or organic followings and stuff like that. But Facebook definitely optimizes for video. I mean, there's just more screen space on like your phones when you're looking at ads, and especially people with products, like you gotta have demo videos. Whether that's in the ad itself or videos on your product pages to showing stuff. And there's a lot of like kind of more deeper ways of driving engagement with video ads, and there's certain like Facebook formula. But one of the quick wins that people do is like maybe you have like a 1 minute video ad showing your product, and then you can retarget people who watched like 50% of that video. And that way you might be able to get someone, some eyeballs on your video for like a couple cents, which is huge. It's not really asking for a click or a conversion just yet, but it's building a really big audience of people who potentially may want your product, and then pushing them along on their customer journey with different kinds of campaigns. Yeah, I don't know if that was beginner.
I think people can understand that, because I think we're all on our Facebook feed every day, and you see these ads, you know. So it's like you know what the video ads look like, and they're a lot more attractive, right? You just sit there and kind of watch them for a while, especially if they have the closed captions on them and stuff like that. Right. And Instagram feed, it's the same way, right? I mean, advertising on Facebook is basically like advertising on Instagram.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, well, I was just listening to a podcast episode about this because I felt guilty because I don't use Instagram. I don't do advertising on Instagram. But like at the end of the day, Facebook owns Instagram. And I just heard this stat that they comprise of 17% of their revenue. And it's just like, and they also were tracking engagement, like on a daily basis, the amount of time that someone is on Instagram versus Facebook has basically caught up to one another. Like before, I think it was like Facebook was 52 minutes a day and Instagram was like 20, and now they're basically the same. So even your audience, if you're advertising on Facebook, chances are they're also on Instagram. And it's not just like an either or equation. It's like your person is on both just at different times of the day. Like maybe they're on their phone on Instagram at work, but like at home on their laptop, they're on Facebook. So I think kind of targeting both is really crucial. But yeah, the last kind of tip I wanted to say before we kept moving on was like Messenger ads are really big now. And why they're big is like, one, it allows people to stay within the platform. Facebook is optimizing any kind of ad type, any kind of experience that keeps people on the platform. Like the tried and true ad is just like a link ad that goes to your website, and for dropshipping, it's going to be like your product page or something like that. But you know, if you can upload your catalog to Facebook and then you can sell through like a Messenger ad and keep that into that formula, that Facebook is going to optimize for that. And I think they're continually making improvements to have like Stripe integration and stuff like that right in Messenger, where that's going to be a more and more seamless experience. And I think in the long run, Messenger is going to be its own product. Even if people don't want to use Facebook itself, Messenger is still going to be like a de facto way of communication.
Are you talking ads that you see when you're scrolling through, like the people that are in your Messenger inbox? Because I see ads sometimes. Is that?
Yeah, I mean, exactly. There's a few different ways that Messenger ads can work. Like you can use it just to kind of get ahead of support questions. So when you message a page, it's like you have a little automated bot that's like, and this stuff can still collect your phone number, email, all the same stuff like a normal contact form on your website would do. Because I often see people like asking like, oh, hey, I haven't got my package yet. Here's my tracking number. And then the conversation just dies inside Facebook Messenger. But you could have a bot to basically be like, what's your tracking number? What's your email? And you send that system through like Zapier or some other integration thing to like your CRM. And then that way you get ahead of support. Aside from that, like you can use different kinds of like Messenger ads to basically show a video within your inbox, Messenger inbox. And then once someone is on your subscriber list, is what they call it, is essentially kind of like an email list, but for your Messenger inbox, then they have this thing called like broadcasts, where you can essentially just send like a blast out of messages to everyone that's interacted with your page. There's a few risks with that, but that's kind of like where the market is going in terms of like ad campaigns on Facebook, and it's still being underutilized. I only see other internet marketers use this kind of ad type. So there's a huge area for growth if you're in like a vertical that like isn't very popular within like dropshipping and stuff like that.
Do you have a recommended tool that you use for, you know, Messenger ads and bots, like ManyChat or a different one?
Yeah, I use ManyChat because a lot of the campaigns I do are lead gen, though I think most of my e-commerce friends use ChatFuel. I can't speak enough to ChatFuel to know exactly why it's better, but I think there's some more like integration specific for e-commerce. Like for the same reasons, like if you're looking for email marketing, the reasons why people would recommend Klaviyo versus like ActiveCampaign, I think they're just like optimized for that and have like abandoned cart sequences meant for e-com and stuff. Again, I don't know for sure, but I just know that's like kind of like the go-to that most of my friends default to when they use these bots for e-com.
Awesome. So I guess we'll move on. So as far as Facebook ad costs go, I know things have changed a lot over time. When it first started, it was really low cost. I think maybe last summer was, you know, or the last holiday season, it was really low. And I saw tons of ads for, you know, low dollar, you know, AliExpress dropshipping stores on Shopify and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Have the ad costs gone up? And what do you foresee for the future as far as ad costs go?
Yeah, I mean, I think over the last year, like 2 million advertisers jumped on the platform, and like that number is just going to keep going up. Like, on a kind of taking a step back trend, ad costs are just going to keep going up. And within like the whole like Cambridge Analytica debacle going on like a month or two ago, like the ad campaigns are just going to get harder. I look at that as exciting. Me being a marketer means that like I'm betting on myself to beat my competition. So if you're proficient with ads, that means like Facebook is still going to favor you. But overall, like it is, your costs are going to keep going up on the platform. But I heard of this from a mutual friend of ours, Miles Beckler. I think he went to one of his retreats. He was chatting about like how right in this time period, Facebook ad costs are going down. And historically, like he doesn't even know why, but he's just seen like a fraction of his leads come in through the door from what he's been used to. And he's been running ads for years. So aside from this little time phase, I still think like ad costs are going to go up and it's just going to get more and more competitive. Though again, I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, it kind of sounds like using the sub platforms that are underutilized is a great way for people to maybe to experiment and even to get started with ads. You know, like just starting with Messenger bots, for instance, would be a great way to start for an e-com business, because you know that does more than just advertising, and also does customer service and sales. So some pretty cool stuff going on out there. I even see, you know, Instagram story ads happening a lot, and there's I think there's more platforms that are starting to use stories now as well. Like YouTube, I think I heard on a video that YouTube's going to add a stories function pretty soon, even though that's not Facebook, but it's still, you know, a social media. It's turning more into a social media platform, you know, and Facebook's vying for video views as well. So it's pretty cool how things are changing.
Yeah, that's a great point. Like using Messenger bots just to get your feet wet within the platforms and stuff is a great way to start. And I don't want to step too far back, but that was actually one of the tips I forgot to mention for beginners getting started with ads. Like, especially if you're like kind of cash strapped and you're trying to bootstrap this operation, this is potentially mixed in terms of ethicalness. But if you take a video that's on your business page, on basically the page you're advertising from, and you promoting it in Facebook groups, that's like can be a testing ground, essentially, if it's appropriate. Obviously, if you're being a blatant self-promotional thing, you're probably going to get banned fairly quickly. But if you're genuinely there to help out people and it's like relevant to what they're looking for, then even if you share a video from a business page to a Facebook group, that gets counted towards like data onto your business page. And then you can even retarget those people to get like a quick win there. And so I sometimes do that to just rack up some social proof and to test some ideas before I start scaling up. Again, it does have to be appropriate. So it's not just, you know, you're not doing it just to sell. But if you're just trying to test your messaging and see how people react to something, that might be a quick way to get some eyeballs onto that video or product before you start putting money towards it.
Yeah, that's a great idea. I think it's important in the beginning to get quick wins so you can see the potential of the platform, because it really is huge. But moving into the next question then for you, it's important before you start your Facebook ads, right, to build your funnel properly. There's a funnel off of Facebook. There's obviously a funnel in Facebook. Can you kind of maybe go into that and like how businesses should be prepared to use Facebook ads before we get into them?
Yeah, I mean, so aside from just ads, like I look at businesses holistically and their funnel. Like I see the funnel as like the car engine, and then Facebook is really like putting that premium fuel inside the car. So definitely having the funnel in place is important. And I love analogies. And I look at the website as kind of like an octopus head, and each arm is another traffic generation platform, whether that's ads, whether that's YouTube marketing or whatever. And so there is a funnel inside Facebook. And again, kind of going backwards, I was saying keeping your traffic and your engagement on Facebook via Messenger ads or like Canvas ads. That's another kind of ad type that basically lets you stay in the platform and take advantage of the call to actions without navigating off of Facebook. But there is that kind of funnel there. And then it's basically optimizing your website. That's what I see as like one of the biggest underutilized parts of any kind of ad campaign. Because if you think about it, you're driving ads to your product page. If your website converts higher, that's a lower ad spend. And so a lot of people, a lot of e-commerce folks just drive traffic to like a product page. And I think that could be very optimized more to basically having like a landing page. Obviously it's harder when you have more products, but if you have like a flagship product or just like a handful of products, you can build dedicated landing pages. And then for people who aren't like web design or conversion rate friendly, a landing page essentially is a dedicated page on your website that you're driving traffic to, that the only goal there is like buy or get out, basically, or whatever your goal page is. There's no like links in your header to like shop around. There's no like related blog post content on the bottom. There's like at most your privacy policy, which more platforms are becoming sticklers for compliance. But it's like you go on this page, you look at the product or you read the article, and you either click the goal button or you bounce and leave the page. And just by doing that simple fix for the pages you're driving traffic to, you're bound to boost conversions. But continually like A-B testing elements on that page is super crucial and goes hand in hand towards any kind of like traffic campaign. And then stepping broader and looking at things more holistically, I think having sort of like your full funnel mapped out and looking at like the customer journey. And what I mean by customer journey is like a lot of people may find a dating analogy prepared. Like asking someone to buy is kind of like asking someone to marry you that you just met. And so having like a free offer to give away in the beginning to e-commerce, that's akin to like a free plus shipping offer, which I'm sure your listeners are familiar with. That's like your one way to build your list of leads, and that's like the front end of your funnel. And then you have like a tripwire, something that converts that person to spend like a little low dollar amount, but that still isn't a barrier. And then thinking about your core offer, like where you actually want to break even on the front end of your funnel. And then the front end of the funnel is actually one thing that I see a lot of e-com and business owners do in general, but what I don't see is the back end of the funnel. And what I mean by that is like the kind of email marketing you're doing to your buyers already. Like what other products are you offering to people who are already proving themselves as raving fans? Obviously from your buyers, you're going to have a list of people who spent more money with you and less money. And so there's always that win of people who are your fans who want more, but you're just not giving them more. And that may be like a buyer's club or like gated member only content or products that are exclusive to only like the raving fans of people in your, who shopped with you. That's just kind of me spitballing some ideas. Obviously that can look different based on what kind of products you're doing. But that's kind of what I don't see too often, is like optimizing the back end of your funnel, because that is really where you get your profitability when your front end is dialed in.
Yeah, 100%. And that totally leads into my next question too, which is how do you scale once you have all this kind of funnel stuff built out, especially when you finally get your back end built out where you know you can be like really profitable with ads, so you can start raising your ad spend. What's the process you go through to like scale ads, and how careful are you?
There's a lot of kind of different strategies. Like one of the biggest ways that people don't scale is just by upping the budget. That's like a really easy way to like blow your margins out. And that comes into question of like, well, how do you scale? And it's kind of like horizontal scaling, like getting a little bit in the weeds. A lot of people just do like ad duplication, essentially running if you have a big audience, just duplicating kind of the same ads to that audience. But also I'm a fan of more of horizontal scaling, like essentially if you have the same kind of core offer, but like finding different ways to get it. Like maybe this is like a free course, and then the upsell is like the product you're trying to sell, whether that's an info product or a physical product or whatever. But having those other ways that people can enter your ecosystem. And then also, and maybe some people don't want to hear this, but the other aspects of your business, like content marketing and YouTube marketing, those are also crucial to scaling Facebook, because we call this like kind of like the organic halo effect. Like once people see you on Facebook and they see you in different channels, you have this idea of like omnipresence. Like no person is only on one channel these days. Like someone that sees you on Facebook may also Google you. And then once you appear on Google, what really helps for SEO is like if you have a video review of your product on YouTube, and then someone watches your video, and then like maybe you get retargeted back on Facebook, and then maybe you get an email because you opted in for something for free. And it's basically having that reach in all the different channels is basically how you're scaling on Facebook. And then having like retargeting campaigns and having like that customer return journey, no matter where they go, to kind of point back to your product and to your website, and just essentially your content, like making sure you're constantly putting out content, which again, going back to the octopus analogy, makes sure you're adding more arms to your business, and more content means more ads. So you're inherently going to spend more money. It's just kind of dependent on a few other factors aside from just the ad campaigns.
Yeah, I agree 100% on that. That's awesome, man. Thank you so much for sharing so much like super valuable information with my audience, man. Like everybody out there is going to appreciate this so much. And you know, there's just some people that either they have a really busy life. Obviously business can be extremely busy sometimes, and either they didn't have the time, but they do have the money maybe to afford some kind of services like you're offering. Can you let those kind of people know where they can find you and how they can, you know, sign up for, you know, a free consultation with you or something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. You can always go to my website, buntysamurai.com. I have other websites for kind of different purposes, but this like the main hub. I'm also really receptive on Facebook. You can just friend me. And if you guys are friends with Trevor, I'm sure it's easy to find me through our mutual friends there. And I love to chat on Facebook, and I'm always happy to kind of look under the hood of anyone's business for like the ad campaigns and give you some quick wins there. Even if we're not a good fit, I'm sure like I can find something to help you out in that regard. So yeah, either on my website, again, buntysamurai.com, or just finding me on Facebook is a great way to get in touch.
Cool, Bunty. I'll make sure I link to those in the description below the podcast and on YouTube as well. So wherever you guys are listening, you can go and click the link to his website and friend him on Facebook. Thanks so much for being on the podcast, Bunty. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great to be here.
All right, we'll talk later.